Vacation Bible School, I've already said, starts next Sunday, so be ready for that. It's going through Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8:30. You'll have a good time, you'll enjoy yourself, and you will really enjoy getting to study the Bible. So come and do that if you would. All right, we're going to be looking at something today about being holy. I appreciate Joe leading that song. I did not ask him to lead that. That was something that he just did, but it worked in really good for my sermon here, talking about being holy. You know, God wants us to be holy people. God encourages us to try to be people that are holy before Him. But do you have a struggle in being holy? Do you have a hard time being holy like you really want to be? I think most of us do. We have we know what we need to do. That's what was being read while ago in Romans 7. Paul there, at least I think it's Paul, whoever the Roman writer is saying, I'm struggling against this thing. Here's this old law. It is a spiritual law. It is to change the spirit of a person. But what it did was showed what sin really was and showed the power of sin in people's lives. And he said, those things that I know that I don't need to do, those are the things that I'm doing. And the things that I don't need to be, that I need to be doing, those are the things that I'm not doing. But then he sums it all up in verse 25 here, and I think this is the important thing. Listen to this. I thank God through Jesus Christ, or because of, by Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I'm serving God's law. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm trying to live according to God's law. Am I perfect in that? Nobody's perfect in it. Nobody does it all the time and does it as they should all the time. We understand that. But we're going to look today at the idea that we need to be holy people. We're going to see some problems that we have in trying to be holy people. And then we're going to sum it up, how can I really be holy? How can I do that? Now, please understand in the beginning, you're not going to be perfect. If you were going to be perfect, God would not have had to send His Son to this earth. He would not have had to offer to us the idea of repentance, of turning from sins. If we could be perfect and we're baptized and we never do anything else wrong, well, that would be great. I wish it was that way. But it's not. That's not a reality. We live in a world that has influence on us. And it influences us to do that which is wrong. And so we've got to try to be influenced to do what is right. We've got to do that. And we have to work hard at that. I've got to get my little clicky thing out here. Okay. Look at this. There's a call to be holy. God calls His people to be holy. Now, look at this. Listen at this passage here. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're called to be holy people. We're called to live a different life than we lived before. A life of service to God. A life of showing how God affects our lives. God saves people so that we can show the world. Not just saving us, but so that we can show the world by the way we live our lives that you can make it serving God. That you can be a holy people. That you can be right with God. And God wants us to show people. You know what people are looking for? They're not looking for sermons. They're not looking for religion per se. But they're looking for a real live Christian that's trying to live a holy life. They're trying to see flesh and blood, not just a book, but they're trying to see. And that's what God wants. Somebody says, oh, I've got a Bible. Well, that's great. Where's it at? Oh, on the table. Turn this thing down just a little bit, if you would, Kim. I'm getting a ring in it. Where's your Bible? It's on a table. Well, that's not where it needs to be. It's got to be in your heart. It's got to be in your life. That's where God wants it to be. Now, listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. He said, but you are a chosen generation. He uses about three or four things here to show this. Okay, you're a chosen generation. You're talking about Christians. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. He said, this is what you are. You are all these things. And he illustrates it and tries to do it three different times in three different ways here. We're a peculiar people. That doesn't mean that we're odd. It means that we're people that serve God. We're a holy nation. We're people that do what God's will is. Now, please don't think that's talking about America. In a sense, it is, but in a sense, it's talking about God's people in God's kingdom. They're holy people. Now, look at this. Look at what he says here. That, purpose word. He's telling us reason why we have all this. That you should show forth the praise of Him, the glory, the praise, the honor to God, to Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, here's God who has taken us and made us holy people, peculiar people. He's made us people that serve Him. He's made us people that are going to follow His will. He's the one that does that. He's the one that has the power to do that. Remember now, you go back over here to Romans 7 and the struggle that the writer's talking about there of trying to do what he knows he needs to do, but he's not doing it. That's us. How can we do that? How can we really be holy people? Well, that's what we want to try to see here. It's just, you know, we're to be lighthouses. Lighthouses don't blow horns. Lighthouses just show light. That's what we're to do. We're to show light to the world. We're to show people what Christianity is really all about. And you see, that may be the problem. That may be the reason that the world is not as faithful as it needs to be, is not serving God like it needs to be, because we're not showing them what Christianity is really all about. Oh, listen. I heard some preachers this week on the internet. I'm telling you, those guys, it was terrible what they were saying. It was awful what they were saying. They were talking about killing people. They were talking about taking people's lives. They were talking, and their preaching was that of hate toward other people. And you go, that's not Christianity. I disagree with the way some people live their lives. But I can't hate anybody. I don't have that right. They may be doing something that is wrong and sinful, but I may also be doing that. And what I need to do is have patience and love for them and understand I've got to try to be, maybe if I'm a more holy person, it might help them to change their lives. But if I spew hate out to people, all that's going to do is build a bigger wall, cause people not to care, cause people not to listen. And that's not what we need. So the writer here is calling for people to be holy people. Now, in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and verse 14, Listen to what he says here. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay, does he say here, hate unbelievers? No, he said, don't be tied to them. Why? And he goes on to help us to understand that. For what what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness or lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord, what unity does Christ have with Belial or with Satan, or what part has the believer with the unbeliever? What he's saying here is we've got to be people that we stand out as people that are going to serve God. And we can't let the world influence us in what's wrong, but we've got to influence the world in what is right and what is good. And we've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to do that with our lives. And it's not saying we're going to hate people. Don't even get that idea. We've got to be people that care for others and love others because we're holy people. We're God's people. Does God love sinners? Yes. He's always done that. That's the reason He sent His Son, because He loves sinners. Read Romans, the 5th chapter. When we were enemies, God sent His Son into the world to save us. That's every one of us. Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God loves you. God loves the worst sinner that could ever be. He sent His Son to die for you. He loves people that are trying to live right. He loves all people. That's the reason He sent His Son. That's the reason He was willing to let His Son come to this earth, because of the love and the care and the concern He has for people. He wants us to be holy people, and He's calling His people to be holy people. A preacher asked a little boy one day, said, what is holiness? He said it's when you're clean inside. And that's what we got to have, that cleanliness inside of us. That's what God wants us to have. Now, look at this. There is a problem with being holy. And we all know that. We've already talked about it just a little bit. There's a problem with being holy. The problem is that sometimes we don't feel like we're holy. That sometimes we don't see the holiness that we have in our lives like we should. And we have to look at that. When we come to Christ, we are more than just redeemed. We're more than just bought back. But we're a holy thing. You know, here's these communion trays here. They're not any different than any other kind of tray or anything else. But you see, they're used for a holy purpose today, to help us to be able to celebrate the Lord's Supper. So that makes them holy because they're being used for a holy purpose. Listen, it makes you holy because God's using you for a holy purpose. That's what makes us holy, is God does that. God helps us to be holy people, but you see, we have a hard time realizing that. We are children of God. We're those people that have been washed and cleansed and made right before God. We have this new master. We have this new way to live. We have this new hope within us. All those things that are there. But you know what? It doesn't last very long. Remember when you were baptized? When you came up out of that water and you thought, man, I don't have to worry about sin any longer. But give us a month, give us 2 months, give us a year, give us 5 years, and we feel like, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. Let me tell you something. None of us are worthy. We're made worthy by God. That's how we're worthy. So when you look at yourself and you say, I'm not worthy, no, you're not, but God is, and God's made you worthy. He's made you a holy people. He's made you that. He wants us and desires us to be His holy people, living and serving and doing His will. But there are forces that are against us. There are things that are trying to keep us from being holy. Now, you know that and I know that. There's a lot of things in this world. But let me tell you something. Understand this. The things that are trying to keep us from being holy is not just flesh and blood people. Sometimes in the past, when people would debate other people and talk about religious questions that needed to be and discussed, and they would talk about those, it got into the personalities. And I've heard some preachers say some terrible things to other people when you want to say, that has nothing to do with the argument. Deal with the argument, not the person there. Listen to what it says here. Listen to this in Ephesians 6 verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You are not wrestling and fighting against another person. But now look at this. You are wrestling and fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. You say, wait a minute. People are doing that. Yes, people are doing that, but we don't need to be hating the people. Now, certainly, they're going to encourage us to do what's wrong, but you can't hate people. I've been working on a lesson on homosexuality. It's something our president has made a decision on, which I think is just out and out totally opposite from what the Bible has to say. No politics do it. That's Bible doctrine. That's what the Bible has to say. But you see, we've got to understand that we can't hate people that are homosexuals. We can't hate anybody. I don't care what they do. God tells us not to do that. God tells us to be people that are holy. You say it's not easy to do that. Listen, this thing of being holy is not an easy thing, because you remember Romans 7, the struggle, the fight that we've got going on in us. I know what I need to do. I don't do it. The things I don't need to do, I just... Understand that. But here, he's saying what we're doing is not fighting against people, but we're fighting against principalities. We're fighting against powers. We're fighting against the influence of sin in the lives of other people. And they may be to a great extent, and maybe they haven't gone as far as we have. Maybe they're farther than we have. But maybe they haven't got to the point yet to where they see the power of sin in their lives. And they need to see that power. They need to see that strength. They need to see what the problems are there, and they need to understand that. Now, what are some of these obstacles that we have to face? First of all, we face the obstacle of the world. The world is against us. The world is a dirty place. The world is a place that has sin in it, and it is filled with sin. We see it as it just oozes over into our lives and comes into our lives. It would be great if we could get it all out, but we can't do that. So you're being influenced by the world. A lot of people are. If Christians, that people that say that they believe in the first five books or four books of the New Testament, if they really believed in that and they wanted to vote, you can change anything you want in this nation. You have that power. We have that power. But what we've got to do is to realize the strength that we have in that. The world has influenced us to where we'll vote against things that are wrong, knowing that. Knowing it's wrong. And we can't do that. That can't be a part of us. We've got to be people that we're going to overcome that. James 1 and verse 27 says more than just being good to those that are with us, but it says to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. How's the world spot you? Well, the world causes you to believe things that are wrong. You say, well, we've got the Bible. Well, if you know it, then you can know that it's wrong. But, you know, you can believe in a part of the Bible and not believe in other parts of the Bible. We want to pick and choose. It's kind of like a fellow said one time, sometimes people have doctrines that they believe it's kind of like a cafeteria. You know, you go down through that line and they got all that food there. And you can tell I like cafeterias. And you're going down through that and you just, you know, you're getting a little bit of this and you get a little bit. I don't, you know. Squash is not something you need to eat unless it's fried. I'm telling you. You don't eat that stuff unless it's fried. And it's got to be crispy too. You know. And you're sitting there going, what is he talking about? Well, you see, I like that. You may like, oh, I like that stuff when it's been boiled and it just looked like, gluck, you know, this yellow in that pan there. And you go, okay, they forgot to wash that one out. But that's the reason. You can go down through there and pick what you want. Let me tell you something. Christianity is not like that. You take it all or you don't take any at all. You take every bit of it. You say, I don't like that. Well, that's okay. Learn to like it. That's what we've got to do. That's helping us to be holy people because, you see, we're set aside for that holy purpose, that holy thing of serving and doing God's will. That's what we are. And so in that, we're going to have to take some things that we may not like, that we may not believe, but we're going to believe it and we're going to like it because God said it that way. He is the Creator. And that helps us to be those holy people. Have you ever noticed that when we're serious about serving God, how it troubles the world and bothers the world? And they kind of pass it off and laugh it off. And we allow them to do that. And we allow them to influence us into not standing for what's right. You ever felt that pressure sometime when you said something and somebody said, oh, that's the silliest thing in the world. You know, if I didn't know better, I'd think you're a Christian. Well, what we got to do is to continue to stand for what's good and what's right. Now, don't do it in a bad way, but do it in a kind way, in a loving way, helping the people to understand that. We've got to live this holy life. We've got to be willing to serve God and do His will. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to have to stand up for what's right. And let me tell you something. When you do, listen to this, the world's going to stand up against you. It's not a matter if it will, it will. Now, some of us are old enough to where we lived at a time where the Bible influence was on a lot of the people in the world. It's not that much anymore. And people will laugh at you and make fun of you because of the things you might do. What we got to do is to realize how important it is. Listen to this. The Lord will try to cause us and help us to be the right kind of people and to be the people that serve Him. He will do that for us. Our problem is that the world is going to try to pull us back into it if you're a Christian. It's going to try to tell you, listen, you can be more popular, you can have more money, the world will love you, we'll care for you, we'll do all those things for you to try to win you back. And some people are won back because of that. Paul talked about a fellow in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10 called Demas. He said, Demas has left me. He loved this present world. Now, there was a time when Demas said, I don't love the world. I want to serve God. I want to do God's will. But then there was another time where Demas said, you know, that world really looks good. Maybe I need to go back and taste of it again and try it again and do it again. Maybe that's what I need to do. And that's what he did. And he turned away from Paul. He turned away from the teaching of Christ. He turned away from that. What did he have left after that? He had the world. Could he come back to the church? It's a possible. It's possible. But I'm going to tell you something. In the 40-something years I've been preaching, it's not always probable that people will return because they've taken everything God has to offer and they've turned their back on it. Now, the second thing that causes not only the world, but we can see the second thing that causes us to not be able to live the right kind of life is the devil. Do you really believe the devil is still alive? Do you believe that the devil is someone who is still... You know, Peter here in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 said the devil is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for people. Do you really believe that the devil is active today in lives of people? That he's trying to win people? I do too, Henry. I really do. Now, the world has painted a picture of this guy in a red suit and horns and a big tail with a fork on the end of it, and he got this stick, and oh, and we laugh at him, and oh, he's funny. Nothing like that guy. He gets in your heart. He gets in your life. He causes you to hate. He causes you not to serve God, not to do the will of God. He causes all those things to happen because he is alive and active today. And he's looking for people. And he's doing that. Now, please understand, no miracles. Nothing like that. The devil is not going to come and grab you and you can't overcome him. That's a movie thing. That's not reality. He didn't do it through miracles, but he does it through our heart. There's where he's at. He's in our heart. Do you remember Romans 7 that we read a while ago? That was a part of it. Why couldn't he overcome that? Because of the flesh, because the devil influences the flesh so very much. It's so powerful. It's so strong. He is that he pulls people back to him and back in the world. Third thing I want us to look at. Look at this. Our biggest problem and our biggest enemy in being able to live a holy life is inside of us. Remember Romans 7 that we read a while ago? I'm fighting this battle inside me. I know the world has an influence on us. I know the devil has an influence on us. But let me tell you something. We take it all inside and we decide whether we're going to believe that or not. It's in us. If Christianity is going to change people, it's got to change them from the inside out. People come to a worship service and, oh man, the singing is good. Oh man, everybody's just happy. Everybody's just laughing and happy. And, you know, it's just a great service. The sermon was short. The songs were good. The prayers were not long. Announcements, you just did away with those things. And everything was just great. We think, oh man, I really feel religious. Let me tell you something. That may be the devil. It's got to be in you. It's got to be in you as you worship God, as you serve God. It's not just this outward thing. And those outward things are great, and we use those things, but it's got to start inside of us. It's got to be a part of us. For I know, Romans 7 verse 19, that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells inside of me. You let me make my decisions, and I'll be in sin in a minute. It doesn't do that. Nothing good dwells in me, for to will is present with me. I really want to do what's right, but I want to do what's wrong even more. And you see, that's that influence. That's that thing that destroys our holiness. That's that thing that pulls our holiness away from us to where we feel like we're not holy people anymore. And we can't serve God. And we can't do God's will. We can't serve Him anyway. So the Roman writer is trying to help us to understand that struggle that you have, it's on the inside. All right, now, listen to this. Did I get this? How do we live the holy life then? All right, we've seen God wants us to do that. We've seen the obstacles that come in our way because of trying to do that. But how do you really do it? Okay, this is it. Listen to what I'm telling you, because this is the important part. I'm going to tell you, how do you do that? Okay, the first thing we've got to do is we've got to recognize that we are holy people made that way by God. By what God has done for us, how He's helped us. We've got to have that. We've got to be those people, and we can have a victory. We can be holy people. Now, look if you would, Galatians 5 and verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in, listen to this, walk in the Holy Spirit. No miracles, nothing. We're walking according to the principles of the Spirit that was sent by Jesus Christ into this world. We walk according to His principles. Jesus said He will come to the disciples and the apostles. He will come and He will teach you what I'm telling you. He'll teach you what comes from the throne of God. So let that Spirit of God dwell in you. Have that Holy Spirit dwelling in you. I'm a holy person. And so whatever I do, whatever I look at, I'm going to look at it and say, is this going to help me to be a more holy person, or is it going to help me to be unholy? If it's going to help me to be unholy, I need to get away from it. I need to get it out of my life. That's our problem. We fight against those things. We got those things in there that we're going against, and we don't know how to decide. Let me tell you something. It's not that hard. Decide on what is holy and do it. Now, people say, I want to be holy. I want to be holy. It comes for us at 10:30 with Bible study. You decide if you want to be holy, because you decide if you want to be here. It's at 11:30. It's at 5 o'clock. It's at 7:30 Wednesday night, or 7 Wednesday night. We decide if we want to be holy. It's when we go home and we sit down in our living room, and I like it too. You got that clicker thing, and I just love that thing. That's a man's thing, women. I'm telling you, that was created for men and not for women. Men need to have it. Isn't that right, men? Y'all are a bunch of cowards. And my Bible is there. I've got to decide if I want to read it or not. It's not just if I want to read it or not. I've got to decide, do I want to be holy or not? Because studying the Word of God, finding out what God has to say, that's what makes us holy. It's not just a great song service. It's not just great prayers. It's not just great Bible study at church. Let me ask you something. You knew what Mark was going to study because we've already given that to everybody. Did you even look at your Bible to find out anything about that this week? And then we wonder why we're not holy. We're holy because we fill ourselves with holy things. We fill ourselves with God's will. We've got to be those people. It talks here about walking, and it's talking about a way of life. It's talking about how we conduct ourselves. We're those people that walk. We're going to be drawn closer to God. How are you drawn closer to God? How are we able to be drawn closer to God? Listen to James 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Okay? You find out the things that are going to help you to get closer to God, and those are the things that you do. All right? God will draw nearer to you. You want to know more about God? Study His Word. You want to know more about God? You be willing to live that life. You be willing to serve Him. You be willing to give yourself over to Him. We've got so many things in our lives now that pull us away from being holy. That's what the devil wants. That's his desire. And I like a lot of these other things too. You do too. Our problem is we've got to sit down and decide, do I want to be holy? We've got to be willing to do that. Our problem is we're pulled away from all this. And then we wonder why we're not holy. I really want to be holy, but I'm not holy. I want to be holy, but I know I'm not holy. So you know what we do? We just give up and quit. There's people that want to live the Christian life, but they see how hard it is, and they give it up. Or they want to live the Christian life, but, you know, they really want salvation, but I really don't want all this other stuff. You've heard this thing, you know, I really want Christ, but I don't want the church. Let me tell you something. That don't work. Not at all. And some people want to live the holy life, but they want to be holy automatically. It does not happen that way. You're not going to be holy overnight. It's a way of life. It's a way of walking. It's a way of talking. It's a way of studying. It's a way of serving. It's a way of doing. And so here we've got to be drawn closer to God. We've got to have that victory, and that victory is ours. And we can overcome, and we can win that. Hey, there was a little girl. They said in the Bible class, how do you overcome Satan? Little girl raised her hand and said, I know how to do it. Teacher said, how do you do it? She said, well, when me and Jesus are sitting around in my heart, and the devil knocks on the door, I just say, Jesus, would you get the door? And when the devil sees him, he leaves. I know that's a silly little thing, but it's the way it needs to be. Jesus, when the devil was there tempting him in Matthew, the 4th chapter, and he said, oh, you, the word says this and the word says that. What was the words Jesus said? It is written. He knew what it was. Do you know to overcome sin in your life? If you know where it's written, it'll help you to overcome it. Our problem is we're trying to figure out how to overcome it, but we don't know where it's at, and we hadn't studied it, and we're doing a cram course for it. Don't do that. Be a person that you recognize the importance of this and how important it is. Feed on the Word of God. Let the Word of God be a part of your life. And let me tell you something. Do it. Do the Christian life. We wonder, how can I be holy? Let me tell you something. You find somebody you can help. You find somebody that you can teach. You find somebody that you can cut their grass. You find somebody that you can visit when they're sick. You find somebody that you can do a Christian duty for and do it. We're selfish. It's me. It's what I want. It's my time. It's all this for me. What we got to do is to understand Christianity is other. That's where holiness is. When we're willing to sacrifice ourselves for what we know is right, and we're willing to do it. That's what the New Testament is about. Listen to Psalms 119 verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man keep his heart clean? Listen to what the psalmist said. By taking heed according to your word. That's how you can do it. By listening to the word of God. By putting the word of God in our life. And I'm not talking about just memorizing scripture. There's a lot of people know a lot of scriptures, but their life doesn't show it. You know why? Because it hadn't got inside. It's just got in the brain, but it hadn't got to the heart yet. And it's got to be at the heart. You want to be a holy person. I'm going to tell you something. You can be a holy person. You can overcome sin in your life. You can overcome the devil. Let me tell you something. Am I saying there that you're never going to ever sin again? No. But I am saying that when you sin, you're going to know God is willing to forgive you, and He will forgive you of any sin you commit that you're willing to repent of. Amen. That's a good one. Y'all missed that. A couple of you got it, but the rest of you missed it. He'll forgive you of any sin you repent of. And He'll keep on forgiving you as you keep on repenting. And you can be a holy person that's holy according to God's standard. Look at God when you talk about holiness. Don't just look at yourself. Are you a holy person? Have you given yourself over to God? Now, please, don't think that you can just respond, sit on this front pew up here, and I'm going to be a holy person after that, and I'm never going to have another problem. That's not going to be. This is the beginning of it. It's just like when you're baptized, it is called a new what? Birth. You're added to the family of God, and you grow in that. Little babies don't eat steak the first week. They drink milk. And later on, they can eat the steak. One of the New Testament writers said, I'm kind of scared of you people. By now, you should be eating meat, and all you're doing is sucking on a bottle and drinking milk. You're not maturing as you should. Let me tell you something. God could say that about us, too. Please, you look at your life. You consider your soul. You have to do that. You have to decide this being holy. I can't make you holy. Elders can't make you holy. Nobody can. You've got to decide if you want to do it. And let me tell you something. Some people have decided I want to be holy, and they've given up things in their life that they never thought they could overcome.